will increase your efficiency 20% if you learn to do the tough things first, the ones you don't want to do.
Ray Zinn now imparts his management philosophy in Tough Things First. In this series, Zinn covers it all, from the essence of human happiness.
If you're going to make it a consistent practice of working Saturdays just because you think you've got to work 80 hours a week to be successful, you're just flat out wrong.
To the downside of venture capital.
People said, well, don't sweat the small things. Well, I guarantee if you don't sweat the small things, the big things are going to become a mess.
And the essence of entrepreneurial discipline.
Don't want to wait until you jump off the cliff to grab a parachute.
Now here's Ray Zinn, Silicon Valley's longest serving CEO and today's guest host.
Welcome to this edition of the Tough Things First podcast. I'm your guest host, Rob Artigo. Hi, Ray.
Hey, Rob. So good to be with you again today.
And it's good to be back. So you've probably heard the saying, and I think this is more about a pasta analogy, but I'm throwing everything at the wall to see what sticks. And I figure there are people out there who start small businesses, and before it really gets any traction, they're off to start another business because they're not doing enough with that business. And they end up diverting their attention to another business and maybe even a third business. And they've got three businesses going at one time. And I think of also the old saying, jack of all trades, master of none, where you end up doing several different things and not really focusing on one. In your mind and in your experience, is that ill-advised?
Well, it depends. For example, if you're a holding company, you might have many, many businesses which are totally different. I had a podcast with a fellow just the other day. He's a holding company. His family, they have, about, I don't know, 300 or so employees. But they have an insurance company, a real estate company, a restaurant, and a couple of others. I can't remember this off the top of my head. But so here they are running all these different companies with all the totally different skill sets required. But yet they have them, and they refer to themselves as a holding company. People who are not holding company, but who go from this little project, that little project, and as you said, jack of all trades, master of none. It depends upon what kind of success they're having with their company. If they're jumping from one thing to another, it's usually because they're not being successful in the operations they started. There's companies like the holding one that are do insurance and restaurants and real estate, but those aren't companies that pivot. So if you're talking about pivoting, let's say you're a pet store grooming. I have a little pet grooming center, and the because of the COVID virus, you can't have them come into your facility because it's not allowed. Then you go to their homes. And so that's pivoting. That's going from where the customer comes into your shop versus where you go out to their place. Or if you have a restaurant and you stop indoor dining and you start using, takeout, that's pivoting. So that means you're in a similar business, but you're just changing the structure or the operation of your business. So are we talking about pivoting? Or are we talking about a holding company?
I think that more specific here is smaller companies. I mean, you mentioned the dog grooming, which is small, but I'm thinking like, say you start a carpet cleaning business and you got the equipment for that and you're doing some of that stuff, but then you go off and you start something completely unrelated to get some work in that area, cutting down trees. I don't know. That's not necessarily completely unrelated because it might be the same kind of home improvement project that you might be involved in, but something unrelated as opposed to related, because I think that if you're a small business operator, you got your business license, you got your fictitious business name statement, you've got the structure of a business set up, and then, while you're advertising and doing that, you get, I don't know, bored or distracted, or you feel like it's going to fail. So you start something else at the same time that's unrelated, as opposed to something that's related where you have something that where you, maybe they're separate entities, they're separate companies, but they complement each other. So you can, they actually can work together in certain ways. You know what I mean? Like if you're a fencing company and you do fences, and then you also do landscaping, so you can cut down trees and other things. Like, so you got a landscaping business and you got the fencing company, and you put those two things together, and they're separate entities, but they can work together.
Well, I can speak from experience, because before I started my Krell, I started four other businesses. And the reason I did was because they weren't working. And they were totally unrelated. When I finally started my Krell, I had to shut down at least two of the other businesses in order to focus on my Krell. And so, as I said, I started before, so five companies I started before I actually, well, fifth being my Krell, but I started four before that, that were okay, but not doing that well. And I ultimately shut them all down.
Any number of those simultaneous?
No, they weren't simultaneous. They were sequential. You know, I tried this thing, then I tried that thing. You know, when I started on my own, you know, it was in 1976 when my boss told me I shouldn't work for anybody else. You should work for myself. That's what I did. I went home and told my wife, I said, well, I'm not going to work for anybody ever again. So, you know, they say, okay, well, then what do I do? Well, I tried something. I tried this thing, and then that didn't work. And I tried another thing, and that didn't work. And, you know, so I had one company that I started before my Krell that I could have made a success, but chose abandon it because I didn't want to defocus my efforts on my Krell, which looked like it was going to do better than the other business. So I wasn't trying to do all four or five at the same time. I just sequentially went from one thing to another. You know, as you see, you tried this and it didn't work. You tried that, didn't work. Two of them were successful, but one was more successful than the other. That was my Krell. And that's why I dropped the other business. I was trying to sell it, but it ended up, I couldn't sell it for what I could get out of it when I needed to. And so I just closed it up. So, but I did do five companies before four companies before I started my Krell. So again, they were sequential. They weren't simultaneous.
Well, so going back to my intro, when I was talking about, you know, somebody saying that they're starting a second and third business, I was thinking of situations where they're trying to run businesses simultaneously, particularly if they're not, you know, experts at running businesses and they're not a holding company and like I said, you're not having the success you want. So you close one and you open another. But in this case, we're talking about those people who decide to diversify so much that their attention is not focused on one project. They're doing several and not necessarily able to have success in any one of the three.
Well, you know, at Intel is a classic example. They start out making microprocessors. Then they added a business to make watches called Microma, digital watches back in the early 80s. And then they started a bubble memory business and they tried several different kinds of businesses, all under the name of Intel. In other words, this is Intel Corporation, but they tried several things. They actually started even doing memory. Many companies stay in the same general business, but their product lines, they drop. In other words, I can name thousands of companies there are thousands of companies. And I could probably name at least a half a dozen that all of us know that, you know, like Hewlett Packard started out as an instrumentation company and ended up making computers and they're making printers and, you know, all these different kinds of products. And then they try to sell off one thing and another. And you know, the same with Intel. You know, there are a lot of companies that are shedding operations that aren't as successful because they either aren't good at running them or they're too much of a departure from what their core business is. So, you know, we're always, you know, shedding things. It's like getting a haircut. You know, our hair gets too long and shaggy, and we get it trimmed. And that's what people do. But it's the same company. It's just that they try to go to too many different directions under the same umbrella and find out that they're, as you said, the jack of all trades but a master of none, rather than focus on their core capability, their core competency.
You know, you mentioning Intel and also HP, and you have those different product lines that they come up and the efforts they go out to. And I think digital watches is kind of funny at this point, because digital watches were probably very marketable back when Intel decided they wanted to do it. But but now you just sort of chuckle because, you know, digital watches, people like to have, you know, nice timepieces, or they want a smartwatch, you know, nowadays. And it was like the buggy whip, you know, digital watches. It costs you probably 75 cents to make a digital watch these days. So, you know, then you sell them for $1.50 and there you go. That's your profit margin. Intel is one of those examples where they were able to start and stop, and those where they, I'm sure, lost some money in some situations. But if I've got a small business and I'm trying to do the same thing, I may not have the luxury of being able to, you know, throw something at the wall and see what sticks, without really putting some effort into the original best chance idea for having some success. And maybe it's not the fact that I have to diversify and start other businesses. Maybe I have to figure out what's wrong with the way I'm operating the business that I started in the first place.
Well, you got companies like Amazon that all they were was a distribution company, but now they make their own products. Lab 126 is an example of Amazon now building their own products. You know, you got Apple. I mean, holy mackerel, look at the diversification of Apple's business. I mean, they make everything from soup to nuts. You know, Google's another one. You know, they even Facebook. You know, they all try to add to their corporate structure in order to continue to grow their business. You know, they acquire companies that they shouldn't acquire, and then they acquire companies that they really should have acquired. You know, when I ran Micrel, you know, there's a few businesses that I acquired that didn't do well. And then there's some that I acquired that did extremely well. So, you know, I can't think of a company, whether it be an IBM or a clothing store or whatever, that hasn't tried to branch out and go into something, you know, outside their core competency. Sometimes they're successful, sometimes they're not.
Yeah, Amazon is ubiquitous around the area where I live. I mean, you see the vans out all the time now. I mean, they've got whole distribution channels and everything. I mean, they're really a top to a bottom, bottom to top, you know, really synchronized company.
They're going into the grocery business with that food store, you know. I mean, they're doing everything. I mean, then maybe they'll go into restaurants. I don't know what. I mean, these guys branch out into the craziest different directions.
As always, you can reach out to Ray Zinn with your questions at toughthingsfirst.com. You can continue your education and the conversation with all the podcasts, blogs, and links to information about Ray's books. Tough Things First, The Zen of Zen, which is a collection of writings on interrelated topics of entrepreneurship, leadership, and management. Essentially, daily affirmations and things to look at life when you wake up in the morning. You can read a little of The Zen of Zen and get something out of it and put some things into action as you go throughout the day. Thank you, Ray.
Thanks, Rob. It's always, as usual, good to talk to you.
You've been listening to Tough Things First, candid talk with Silicon Valley's longest-serving CEO, Ray Zinn. Drop by the contact page at toughthingsfirst.com for more about the book, more podcasts, and links to Ray's Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn pages to keep up with Ray Zinn's wisdom daily.